Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Ann and After Show. It's me, Lindsay Loveridge, and James Beckett is here.
What's up?
And he has a new picture behind him from Toilet Bound Hanako. Yes. That I have not seen before.
Oh, it's new. It's actually a gift for my wife, so that's one of her favorite series. And so I was at, where was I? I was at Target.
Oh.
And they had like this little poster display, you know, and they had like a Deadpool and Avengers, and they had My Hero Academia, and I think some Jujutsu Kaisen. Yeah. But I've noticed this, Toilet Bound Hanako-kun is like weirdly blowing up. Like
now?
Yeah. Like I've been seeing merch for it. I've seen kids at my school that have like little pins and stuff for it. So I don't know what happened, or I don't know like what.
I wonder if they got into Hot Topic.
Maybe. I mean, it is like perfect Hot Topic vibes. Mm-hmm. Like that show is like ideal, like, you know, young adult Hot Topic. Like that's just, it's fodder for them.
But yeah.
It's a great show, and it's a good poster. So.
Yeah. And it looks really cute back there. So yeah. Today we have a lot of news, and we have Chainsaw Man and we have Akiba Maid War. We're going to talk about all of those things in no particular order, really. But yeah. But
doing what we feel like.
Yeah, just kind of doing what we feel like. I think the biggest news to come out that we're going to want to talk about is the Game Award nominees.
Yeah.
So let me just pull that up right over here. We've got an article up on Anime News Network that talks about all the Japanese developed games that are nominated. But there's also a lot of like indies and stuff on the main page that I was pretty excited about. It seems like by a large margin, Elden Ring.
Yeah,
sure is up there with most nominations. Also, Plague Tale, I think I saw as well. And
I still have not managed to get around to that series. But
no, I haven't played it yet either. I was like, is my brother going to die if I play this? Like,
am I
ready for that?
At least we know he doesn't die in the first one, because his face is on the box art for the sequel. So
that's true. That's a little bit reassuring.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of good boys nominated. God of War Ragnarok about Kratos and his son is in there. I haven't played that either, but
quite good.
Stray, which I know I really need to play, the one about the cat with a backpack going through town.
More cat games.
More cat games. And also haven't played this, but I know This Week in Games writer Giancarlo's been playing it for a while, and that's Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Oh, yeah.
So all those are nominated for Game of the Year. I also skipped over, but Horizon Forbidden West, which looks cool. Also haven't played, but it's got a lady archer on the front. She looks pretty neat. A lot of those are across multiple categories. One that I was surprised to see is Immortality. Have you played that? Any of that, James?
No.
So Immortality, it's not a Japanese game. It's more like an interactive movie, and it's been multiple interactive
movies. Wait, is that the one where you're like digging through like a bunch of archive files?
Yes. And so this company has made three different games of the same style. One was called Her Story, and I forget what the other one is. Her Story was interesting because it was a bunch of recorded footage from a police station. And through going through it and figuring out, it's always never in chronological order. That's always the thing, is that you're kind of jumping around and you have to figure out the timeline and then figure out the real story. Mm-hmm. Immortality is about an actress who's been in three movies and then like disappeared. And so you have all this archive footage. Some of it is footage actually shot for the individual three movies. Some of it is footage that's like a read-throughs or
behind the scenes stuff.
And what makes it kind of maze-like is that you can click on objects in any of the footage at any time, and it will link you to a new one. And then that will get added to your archive footage. So you don't start with all the footage in front of you. You're like clicking on things that will have some similarity to another object and another piece of footage. And you're kind of going through that to get all of the footage. And then, you know, maybe Satan's involved.
It looked like it had some like strong, like David Lynch, Mulholland Drive vibes.
Creepy stuff. You have both the ability to watch the footage at regular playthrough or faster or in reverse. And we all know that Satan loves to communicate in reverse. So you'll hear a kind of a noise cue. Or if you play with a controller, and I didn't find this out until after I've been playing it, it'll vibrate. And if in that moment you play it in reverse, weird stuff will happen.
Okay.
Like maybe the footage will change entirely and there'll be a demon there talking to you. It actually manages to be really creepy. Like it manages to throw in a couple jump scares in there that I thought were good. Okay. Like the shaky noise thing happens as a guy's walking directly in front of the camera, so the screen blacks out and I put it in reverse while that black was up there. When it went in reverse, he wasn't there anymore, and it was like this shaved head. It might not be a demon, or it might be sort of like a Hellraiser sort of situation, interdimensional being sort of thing. And then just starts talking to me like directly. Oh. And I'm like, no, I wasn't ready for that. Okay. So that game's really fun, and it's on Game Pass. So
is it on PC only, or is it on Xbox as well?
I think it's on Xbox as well. Okay. It's got controller compatibility, so I would think that you could play it on a console just as much as you could on a PC. But I did like several hours of it in one playthrough, got really freaked out, and then haven't picked it back up
again. I mean, it sounds haunted, so
yes,
you might have made the right choice.
Yeah. So I was happy to see that one. Another game on here, it's not a Japanese game, but it's a really great game. It's up for a debut indie, is Norco, which I think I talked about on here right after I played it.
You did.
That's the one that's like a post-apocalyptic sci-fi story that takes place in Louisiana specifically. And they got all of it really, like the setting and the tone and the writing and everything for that game is really, really good. So also highly recommend that one. But of the other games that are nominated, we've got Bayonetta 3 up for Best Action, which didn't actually get a great review from us over at Anime News Network. I don't know if that's consistent with everyone's feelings on it, but I heard it has a lot of kind of obnoxious mini games in it that just aren't fun, and I don't know. For Best Adaptation, though, Cyberpunk Edge Runners and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie.
Woo! I've mentioned this before, but that Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie, like that's one of those movies that spoke directly to like my inner 9-year-old that used to grab the Archie comics just like straight off the shelf every week. So, I haven't watched all of Edge Runners yet. I know it's
okay. I haven't watched all of it either.
I liked what I saw.
Trigger. I just interviewed them and acted like. Don't tell me, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The interview's already done, so.
The interview's done. It's too late. I still need to catch up on that one. Another one, two or three other kind of big news items that we have, but I'll start with Ghibli making Star Wars, which is something I never thought I would ever say in my entire life. But they are. They're making
Mickey Mouse money. It'll get y'all. I'll make all sorts of friends.
Yeah, they're taking the dust bunnies. I don't know if they're supposed to be the exact same ones from Spirited Away, which I believe the Spirited Away ones are the ones that have eyes, right? Yes. The ones in Totoro do not. But yeah, they're teaming up. The Spirited Away dust bunnies are teaming up with Grogu from The Mandalorian to make Zen, Grogu, and Dust Bunnies, a short that is going to stream this Saturday on Disney Plus. So
very exciting.
Looks cute. I'm kind of wondering if the entire background is going to be sort of like this, if it's going to have that Japanese paper sort of feel in the background the entire time, and then it's just going to be like Grogu and the Dust Bunnies. I've also seen a picture of Hayao Miyazaki in the background, and in the foreground is this little Grogu guy.
Right. I mean, from everything, at least from everything that's been released so far, it doesn't seem like he was super involved, so I'm just imagining the conversation. Like, someone rips Miyazaki away from whatever 100,000 cells of that How Do You Live movie he's been working on, and yeah, like, Miyazaki-san, would you mind just sitting down in front of this toy while we take a picture? And he doesn't even ask what for. He just goes, rah, rah, rah. They're like, all right, cool. This will be
100%, because if we put you in this picture, it's gonna get people excited, because they associate you with the brand. But no, Katsuya Kondo is directing the short, and he's the same director, or he was a character designer, actually, not a director, for Kiki's Delivery Service, Ponyo, and Earwig and the Witch. So obviously very experienced, like has been with Ghibli for a really long time, but not necessarily in a director sense. And then they've got Ludvig Göransson, who did the Mandalorian score, doing the music for it. So seems like it's sort of a jointly staffed project.
Yeah, got some brand synergy going on.
Unpopular take. I'm already tired of Grogu. Can we please move on? I get people love Grogu, adorable little baby from The Mandalorian. It's just,
I mean, I'm just glad people aren't calling him Baby Yoda anymore.
Yeah.
I'll take any name other than Baby Yoda. I found that a little obnoxious. I get it. There's only like two others that we've ever met of that species, so there's only so many things you can call them, but
yeah,
it's just,
is that true across like all the Star Wars stuff? There's only been two of these little green rabbit dudes.
I mean, I'm sure there's like more in expanded lore and all that, as you know, if you count like Old Republic, but the ones that I know, there's Yaddle. I know Yaddle's a thing.
Yeah,
and then there's Yoda.
Yaddle's an unfortunate name, maybe because it just reminds me of a turkey, turkey neck, something. Yeah. But hey, you know, could be cute. Check it out on Saturday if you got Disney Plus. I don't know. Part of it's just kind of weird. I guess it's like you said, the Mickey Mouse money. It just hits me weird.
I would have preferred if they were. I mean, I'll be honest. I love Star Wars, and I've had a really hard time getting into the post Episode 9 like Disney Plus stuff.
They mean post Episode 8. Because Episode 9 sucked.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. I guess that's what I meant. Episode 9 did suck. No.
Yeah.
Horrible film.
Yeah.
Complete disappointment after the masterpiece that was Episode 8. Mm-hmm. Come at me, internet. But all of the TV stuff, like even Obi-Wan, I liked the first couple episodes, but almost all of the Disney Plus shows, Marvel included, except for a couple, I'll watch a few episodes and I'll enjoy them, but I will have absolutely, like, I'll just forget about them.
Yeah, I haven't watched any more She-Hulk since, like, the past two or, like, I watched the first two or three episodes and then just kind of forgot about it.
Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
I liked Moon Knight. Moon Knight's one that I finished. Okay. I liked WandaVision.
I did watch all of WandaVision, but it was quite a while after it was over.
Yeah. I don't think I finished a single Disney show, although everything I've seen about Andor has me very, very curious.
Just
with the amount of, I guess, narrative depth they seem to be going into. So I think over Thanksgiving break, that'll be one of my.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that when I'm holed up in the hotel. I fly out to New York, everybody. I'm flying out to New York tomorrow for Anime NYC, which is taking place Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Javits. And they've got a crazy lineup of guests coming out of that, including Hajime Isayama, the creator of Attack on Titan, is going to be there, first time ever in the United States.
That'd be very interesting.
And he's going to have a panel and everything. So yeah, that'll be probably high demand to get into that But we also have some Attack on Titan news related to that.
Hold on to your butts, everyone. This is a big one.
This is a huge one. We've got a new picture to show you specifically. Yeah.
Look at all those characters.
This was revealed at the Attack on Titan, the final season special event 2022. And is the key visual for, this is never not funny, Attack on Titan, the final season, part 3. Yeah. Which is being billed as the conclusion.
That to me, and I will, Mappa, I know that you have made a lot of, earned a lot of goodwill with how hard you've been rolling lately. But if you tell me that this part 3 is the conclusion, but then there is a film somehow, I will be very upset. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think there's enough material left to like fuel 12 episodes and a movie, but just like, we need to be done. We need to be done. Like, Attack on Titan needs to end. Not because it's bad. If anything, I think this final season is some of the best Attack on Titan we've ever had, but it's been, I mean, how many years has it been since the final season started?
Oh, two? Just since the final season started? I can tell you that. Final season part one, which I think was originally
2020?
Which was originally just billed as the final season. It was not billed as part one.
Yeah.
And then they were like, JK, there's part two and part three. That premiered, 2020.
God, that's insane.
So the final season has just been going, by the time I think this premieres, it'll be like 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So I finally today actually spoiled the ending of Attack on Titan for myself. I had held out this entire time, but there was conversation, and I'd be interested to know what our listeners think about this, conversation that people expect the ending in the anime to differ from the manga. Because of how it ends. And Hajime Isayama is even aware of the controversy surrounding it because Kodansha, I think it's on Instagram, put out a statement from Hajime Isayama leading up to Anime NYC. So the story goes full circle, where he says that he knows the ending was controversial and to please be nice to him. That's not a direct quote. You can go read it exactly. But basically it was sort of a preemptive, I'm meeting my public. There's going to be a lot of you there. And I'm sure some of you did not like how I ended this extremely popular series. Please don't yell at me in public. And he's right. Please don't yell at Hajime Isayama because you didn't like the ending of Attack on Titan. At the end of the day, no matter how emotionally invested you were in it, it was his creation and he can end it however he wants. If you didn't find it satisfying, that's fine. That's a valid opinion. Just, you know, don't yell at him NYC. Or he'll never come back.
We've only got him the one time.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Now, Lindsay, I got to ask you, and I'm not going to ask you to spoil anything.
Okay.
But I will say I've gotten a little tired over the last however many years it's been since the manga ended of people just like sneaking up on me in like the middle of conversations and being like, you know, you're going to really hate the ending of Attack on Titan. You're going to hate it. It's going to make you so upset. It's going to ruin it for you. And I'm just sitting here going, what? Okay. But you know me, Lindsay. You have a pretty good take on my tastes, I think.
I think so.
You have to read them very often every week. Do you think the ending of Attack on Titan, if it remains true to the manga, will in fact wrestle my jimmies?
No.
No.
All I will say is that I kind of predicted it on some level on this show years ago.
Hey! Do we have an audio record of it by chance?
Yeah. You guys can probably go back to this because we launched the podcast with Attack on Titan, the final season, part one. And I threw out an idea of what I thought the ending would be. Jackie and I joked that it was, you know, Lindsay's personal fan fiction for Attack on Titan. And Jackie, who she is not here, but has repeatedly said that my ending was good, is kind of what happens.
Hey, okay.
So not exactly what happens, but in essence, I feel justified. I kind of called it. So
hey. Well, okay.
What are you going to do? Still more specific, but not enough to, to be considered spoilers, I do think maybe the execution probably is what most people got upset about, as far as like kind of not presenting something and then doubling back and da da da.
Well, I know that Isayama's, he's always been very open to the manga being kind of like a second draft for, I mean, I know with season three, part two, I believe, or maybe it was part of season three. Yeah. They made some significant changes to like the pacing and the structure of that entire story arc because Isayama himself was like, yeah, that wasn't very good. We can fix it.
Yeah. So I think I remember that sounds familiar. Yeah. So, I mean, I would be surprised if they heavily alter the ending based on the setup that we've already got going in the anime itself. Like, I don't really know what they could write out to change it in that way. So anyway, that's just my take. If you two need to know what happens in Attack on Titan, there's a couple articles out there that'll just straight up tell you. So, hey, what are you going to do?
Will the ending be explained?
That's the title of one of them too. Hey, you know, we'll probably do that. We'll just host an ending explained for the end of Attack on Titan when that happens.
You gotta, I mean, you know, you gotta go with what works.
Yep.
People want the ending explained. We can explain it.
Yeah, we can tell you what happened to you, I guess. So the last one is sort of a funny story and it'll lead into our talk about Chainsaw Man itself, but Ayo, Fujimoto, Fujimoto lost his Twitter account.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious Twitter handle.
Yeah. So first, I guess you have to understand a couple of things. One is if you change the birth date on your Twitter account to something that is less than 13 years old, it automatically locks. Yep. Anime News Network found this out themselves I don't know how long that was now, like a year, two-ish years ago.
Did you try to do the thing I once tried to do with a gimmick account where you tried to make the birthday like the day that you made the account or like the day that something was founded?
Yeah. Yes, only I didn't do it. It was my boss that did it. I take no responsibility for this mishap. I didn't have anything to do with it.
I mean, to be fair, it's stupid. Like it will make your account locked.
Yes.
Like you will make an account, but then it will immediately be locked and you will never be able to access it again.
Yes, like, unless you've got connections inside Twitter. For ANN specifically, this was traumatizing because we have, it wasn't 1.6 million followers on the account as it is now, but it was pretty close to 1 million followers and we just had no access to the account whatsoever. So that feed for our articles and everything was completely down until we could actually get a hold of someone like inside Twitter and explain it. We have a backup account that we were able to use in the meantime. That said, Tatsuki Fujimoto ran into a similar issue because there was a Twitter account that claimed to be his little sister.
It wasn't his little sister. It was just him.
He was just being a goof.
He was just RPing as Koharu Nagayama, the elementary school-aged little sister of Tatsuki Fujimoto, and then would post things related to like Chainsaw Man and stuff on there.
That is really funny, to be fair. Like, that's genuinely a funny bit. I like that bit.
Yeah. A good bit. Marks pointed out that the Twitter account was locked just last year. So much stuff has happening all the time that everything feels like a long time ago to me. But okay, maybe that was just last year. I knew it was within the last 2 years. So yes, Tatsuki Fujimoto's account, it gets locked. He can't get back in. So he makes a new account and starts having to, you know, kind of plead his case publicly. He contacted his editor, who we've interviewed, Shihei Lin, and asked them to vouch for him. So his editor came out and said, yes, this account belongs to the brother of the little sister of Tatsuki Fujimoto, which is just a full circle, unless, you know, he wants to pretend to be a brother. But he started posting, if you head over to it though, he's posting pictures of like designs for the characters that were rejected. And I've got one I want to show of Aki here, because Aki almost looked like this. Almost had like three like claw mark style scars across his eye. He used to have multiple ear piercings and a lip ring. which is just scandalous.
It's kind of hot, to be honest. Like, I'm a little upset that we didn't get this, Aki.
Let me see if I can just pull this up. And then, I don't know, was this supposed to be Power? Was Power supposed to have, like, a robotic snake familiar or something? I mean, yeah, you kind of see some similarity there with, like, how the bangs are oriented. So, maybe. And then Chainsaw Man looks mostly the same.
I mean, I guess there are a lot of different ways you could do the face, but I don't know, like, that Chainsaw Man is, it's such an iconic design.
Yeah.
Like, it's genuinely, I think, one of the best, like, hero silhouettes that I've ever seen in my
life. Can't mistake it for anyone else. You're never going to think that's Batman.
No.
If you see that, yeah.
Even without his big phallic chainsaw thing, the fact that he has, I mean, just, like, the shark teeth and, like, the motor ears, like, it's just such a, it's just so good.
Yeah, it's good.
Chainsaw Man's good.
Yeah. So if you want to follow Tatsuki Fujimoto, his new account is Ashitaka_Ava. And that's on Twitter. So I don't know. Is that supposed to be a reference to Ashitaka, like Princess Mononoke, and then just Ava, like Evangelion? Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Dude is addicted to references. So
That is true. I just would have, I'm surprised it's not more movie related.
I mean, there's there's Evangelion movies. So
That's true. I guess I mean like live action movies, but
you remember when Weta was gonna do that live action Evangelion?
I feel like I know where I was when that was announced. And the answer is middle school. I think I was in middle school when the Weta Workshop Evangelion thing with Asuka renamed like
Ashley or something.
Was she Ashley? Someone was like, oh yeah, maybe it was Ashley Rose. Someone had wrote like it was a double name.
It was Ashley Rose. That sounds exactly right.
It's bad. Yeah.
I wonder if it would have been like Sean Icarus.
That's just like all their last names. Like Gendo is like George Icarus.
Yeah, George Icarus, yeah.
That's not bad, actually, as far as like,
you know what? Yeah,
I mean, pop culture names for an evil dude.
Yeah,
the Icarus thing is actually a great allusion, like a good, to his overall to the sun plot. Yeah, he's gonna.
I've been watching enough Gundam, to be honest, that like completely idiotic names mean nothing to me anymore.
Oh yeah,
like I'll just, there'll be a character named Full Frontal, and I'll go, all right.
Yeah,
that's a name that someone would go by.
Exactly. Sad we had to recap this
week. I'm honestly jonesing for more Witch for Mercury. I was like really feeling the lack of, especially with that happy birthday ending from
last. How is he? Is he okay? The answer is no.
No, but, he's definitely been vaporized. He's super dead.
They're just gonna bring out another one. It's like another Ayanami.
No, I was just thinking they're combining the cyber new type, tragic romance trope that I'm just now discovering in Zeta Gundam, where it's like, oh, Tomino, you're literally falling back on the same trope twice within the span of 8 episodes, but okay. But yeah, and then they also get to throw some Ava in there. So I think Tatsuki Fujimoto would be pleased.
Speaking of Tatsuki Fujimoto, we better break down what I'm gonna refer to as Chainsaw Man's Endless 8 episode. It will not last 8 episodes, but they are stuck on the 8th floor endlessly.
I was gonna call it the Kobeni Stabs Everybody episode.
So, do we want to immediately jump to Kobeni opinions? Because I have some Kobeni opinions.
I mean, I'd love to hear them. They're not popular. My Kobeni opinion is that she is freaking hilarious. And I really love that her immediate response to this mess is to completely lose her mind. And that her her first solution to every problem is to betray and murder her teammates.
It's true. It's true. I guess if you take a step back from the episode, it's pretty freaking funny that she's just like, I'm going to just try and stab Power. And Power is just like laughing in her face like, you're an idiot. And
I was like, it's not going to do anything. Right.
And we're going to kill Denji because it wants us to kill Denji. And I don't want to starve to death, or I'm going to Did she threaten to stab anyone else? I mean, she did stab someone else, but...
I mean, she was waving that knife at everybody. She was... Yeah, she was. I mean, she was going to drink toilet water.
No, she did drink toilet water and then got knocked out for it, I think. Yeah. Or did she get knocked out in her attempt to drink the toilet water? I'm not sure.
I guess we don't know. It's ambiguous. I don't know if she got any in her mouth or not, but...
Power just ate all the rations. She's a fucking gremlin. Yeah.
This episode is hilarious, you guys. Yeah. Like I was sometimes I try not to just because I don't want to like have anything influence my opinion before I write the review. But every now and then, because it's the right there, I'll like take a peek at the comments in the Crunchyroll app just to see what like all the fans are saying.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously there's like thousands of comments, and so they're all over the place. But I saw quite a few that were like, bruh, nothing happened this week. It's like, what are you talking about? This week was great. Kobemi stabbed everybody.
I mean, we could argue that like there was a lot of setup because they were just trying to figure out what is going on and then how do we deal with it. And then, you know, there's like a moral quandary of like, do we kill this dude to save the rest of us, even though that goes against the point of being a devil hunter or what? But yeah, it. I wouldn't say nothing happened. I mean, we hadn't really gotten to know Kobeni and the other guy whose name I'm just never going to remember.
Arai.
We haven't really gotten to know either of them.
They're both terrible at their jobs. That's all we know about them.
They are. I actually genuinely felt really bad for Kobeni because like when she first breaks down, she's like, my parents made me get a job so my brother could go to college. I wanted to go to college. He's considered the gifted one. And now I'm going to die here. I'm going to starve to death, trapped on the eighth floor of a hotel. Like, yeah, it's
Look, I'm not trying to be mean to Kobeni, but having read the manga, I think we can both say that her parents were right. And then if they were going to spend that college tuition on any of their kids, I have to believe that her brother was better at things than Kobeni was. Yeah. Because Kobeni is genuinely terrible at everything she tries to do.
So... my unpopular opinion about Kobeni, at least from what the conversations I've had with manga readers, a lot of people like her in the sense that she's like a comedic joke, right? Like they just find her antics kind of funny. I don't know what this says about me or my personality type. I've been told I have kind of a type A personality, which should maybe surprise no one. But if I had to be in a room with her, I would probably kill her. Like she drives me up the wall with her just like, her like losing it and in the heat of any kind of like conflict or whatever and creating more problems, anxiety moment. Like I get like, as far as entertainment goes, yes, she's funny to watch, but as far as like empathetic feeling goes, like I don't like her.
Hey, I mean, I 100% agree with you in that she would be terrible to work with.
Yeah.
I think my thought this whole episode was we've all been in this situation where we're working on a group project, right?
Sure.
And, you know, you got your lazy assholes like Denji, who just wants to take a nap. And then you got your leaders, you know, that are taking charge of the situation and actually trying to get things done.
Like Aki and Himeno, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you have like this, the guys that are there, but they're not really contributing anything. They're just kind of like letting other people take charge, like Arai. And then you have the people like Kobeni who will like, they'll break their pencil and all of a sudden their world has ended and there's not even any point in continuing. This whole project sucks and it's stupid. And why do we even try? This is pointless. And I'm not speaking from personal experience or anything, especially as a teacher of teenagers.
Yeah. But,
yeah, it's a very real vibe this girl has, but understandable. I mean, they are in a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, sure.
Out of hell, but whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's your job.
Theo asked if I tend not to like coward archetype characters in media. That, I think it is a range. For instance, Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Shaggy,
I'm fine with Shaggy. Shaggy's fine. I mean, I get that he doesn't want to deal with any ghosts and he's kind of a wimp, but he doesn't like bother me. But then
we know you love Zenitsu from
There's Zenitsu from Demon Slayer, who I just do not really like the time that he's on screen very much, but that's a combo of his voice acting and his character type. Kobeni, I don't find her voice annoying, so I don't think it's an auditory like sort of thing. It's just that
like James's example, and this could be a personal character flaw in which I will take full responsibility for. I have always had a hard time with just like incredibly anxious people. Now, I have some anxiety. A lot of people, I mean, you can't like exist in this world without having like some levels of anxiety, I think. But as a kid, even, I feel like I've gotten better at this as an adult. I had a hard time with shy kids because I couldn't really get that feeling myself. And then I was just like, why don't you just do the thing? And So I get that overwhelming feeling with Kobeni too. It's like, why don't you just do something? Quit freaking out all the time. I can't control it. I don't know why.
I mean, it's okay. The moral of the story is Kobeni does suck. She's great. But like her point is to be bad at things.
Yeah.
as the dynamic of the show goes. Like her whole shtick is that she should not be here.
Yeah.
That
she's just like really ill suited for the job. And I can find like comedy in just horribly incompetent characters too, if it's funny. I think it's the combo of her being both really incompetent and then also shaking like a leaf constantly. That makes me want to punch her out of a window. Like it's like a primal need to throw her out a window. So guys can hate me for that, I guess. I'll take that. That's fair.
I think it's perfectly understandable.
For the record, I've never actually thrown any of these types of people out of a window, though. Like, but on the inside.
Yes. Vividly imagined,
viscerally,
and that's how you live in society. So that's okay.
It's okay.
if you can't imagine how you would mercilessly dispatch the people that displease you, but then proceed to get along with them as a professional adult, then life is harder. So you got to strike the balance.
It's true. Aki really seemed kind of like the MVP of this episode, holding down the fort.
Hell yeah, Aki's a good boy.
Yeah, he was doing rounds. He was trying to find that devil wherever it could be, just trying to figure it out. Do we have a good... But they're, trapped on the eighth floor. What did you think about Himeno and Aki bonding over cigarettes, James?
I think I just saw a clip of... I want to say it was maybe... I can't remember who it was. Was it Kind of Funny? Was it IGN? Someone was interviewing Guillermo del Toro.
Okay.
And they were asking him some questions, and they asked him about cigarettes. And he said, they look really cool. They're bad for your health, obviously, but they look really cool.
Yeah.
And I think being a cinephile, Tatsuki Fujimoto understands. In Japan in general, their cinema has a long and storied history of understanding the aesthetic appeal of smoking. Where... Yeah. I mean, I think it's a perfect metaphor, right? Like, I think it's a perfect metaphor. I mean, they spell it out where she says, look, we're all going to die horrible deaths, probably. That's kind of our lot in life. So why not smoke?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of they're bonding over their mutual kind of understanding of their mortality. Oh, yes.
Yeah. This was a cover of a Japanese magazine that put Aki on the cover smoking. Because he looks really hot when he does it.
Guys, smoking looks really cool. It's like, it's just, and as someone that grew up around smokers and hates the smell of cigarette smoke, and I have asthma boy lungs, so I don't partake. It just looks great. Like it's a perfect, it has this, I don't know, this like abstract, metaphorical, aesthetic hotness to it.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah. Because like that kissing them is gonna like it's gonna taste.
Oh,
awful.
It does. It
tastes like a licking
awful.
An ashtray.
It does. My husband does not smoke, but in my teens, I dated two different smokers, and like, one of them kind of looked like James Dean when he did it, and it was hot. But like, he also, he switched to cigars at one point. He was one of those, But I mean.
I have enjoyed a cigar on occasion, but it's because, once every like year, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's going to take away your ability to taste things.
I mean, there was, I would at parties get like
The Swisher Sweets?
Swisher Sweets, or they were just clove flavored clove cigarettes until Obama made them illegal. Thanks, Obama. But I would only do those in like rare social situations, and which was maybe like 2 times a year or something like that. And it was one of the, to sound like another president, I didn't inhale, you know, but yeah, it was just, it was an aesthetic thing. It's like, yeah, I've had, you know, a couple drinks and now I'm going to go on the back porch and light up a cherry clove cigarette and look really cool. For the record, A&N does not endorse tobacco products.
Yeah.
Throw that in there. We've talked a lot about how cool it looks to smoke. Don't smoke, you guys. It's really bad for you, okay? This is purely on a visual level. I do not recommend it.
Yeah, I mean,
any sense of the word.
So. Is there something deeply and just inherently satisfying about being like 3 or 4 drinks in and taking like a long drag on a cigar and just kind of swishing the smoke around and getting that earthy flavor? And yeah, it's wonderful. It's great. But also cancer sucks. So not worth it.
Nope.
Can I just say, by the way, I think this is maybe the most screenshots I've ever grabbed for an episode of anything. I think I got like 50. The storyboarding and the editing and the cinematography of this episode was so next level that every like 2 seconds there was just a shot that I was like, well, we need that, obviously. We need to talk about this incredible, you know, rack focus of her reflection with the cigarette in the window. Like, that's just a great shot.
I just, the scene, it was nice to see how her and Aki's like rapport has built as partners over time. But it did feel kind of weird to watch someone like really kind of egg a person on to start smoking. Like,
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
Japan in the 90s, and
it's true. It is. Yeah. Again, the 90s.
I mean, again, it was kind of hot. Like, just, you know, it's just, there's something about that. Like, I hate that stupid line from that one book about like that John Green book about the kid with cancer who's like, you know, he waxes poetic about cigarettes and how it's like, you know, I like to hold my death in my hands or whatever. And it's just like, no, that's, but again, when it's like,
overwrought.
I will say I did love, I think I've learned that part of the reason that Aki got so upset with getting shit wiped on his face is that he's actually really bad at pranks. because his prank to the woman that slapped.
Oh,
that
right. Slapped him. He just put the dumb,
you just put gum on her clothes.
Yeah. There's a scene, and you probably have a screenshot in here. God damn it, Kobani. I don't know. I missed this line the first time around. Theo pointed it out that her parents gave her the options of either becoming a devil or a sex worker, and I somehow missed sex worker when she said that. She couldn't do that either. I think both of those were bad career options for her.
Yeah, I mean, destigmatize sex work, but she obviously didn't want to do it. So
she didn't want to do it. And I think just based on her general personality that we see here, I don't think that would have went well for her either. I think Denji sleeping in the bed was actually the best choice.
That face in this particular shot, that long shot of him just still giving that dumbass grin, maybe my favorite single frame of the entire episode.
Yes.
It's just like, hey, look at me, I'm in bed.
This bed is freaking sweet. And then he actually fell asleep. okay. I haven't gotten to the shot yet about the lady with the bubble gum. So I'm just going to say that I thought that was interesting that, you know, Himeno's partners keep dying and she just has these interactions with their, like, remaining loved ones, and they all kind of beat the shit out of her. I think we should give Power a Nobel Prize.
I should just
make her president.
Yeah.
Because that's what she's decided she's going to do with her life now, is just like get the Nobel Prize.
She's at least honest. She says that it is her one-way stop to increase human suffering. So she's not beating around the bush. She's like, I want to become president so I can ruin the world.
Yeah.
And that's admirable. You know, that's honesty in our politicians for once. Please.
Please be upfront about it, right? Yeah. That was kind of an ongoing bit during this episode. Himeno, I think, checks with Aki about it. Or Denji, I don't remember which
one. I think it's Denji. Himeno's like, I don't know what the hell is wrong with her. And Denji's like, oh, no, she's just like that.
Yeah, this is just
she's fine. She does not care about what's happening right now.
Yeah, she's always like that. Yeah. So more smoking, more smoking, more smoking. Slap. Yeah. Yeah, his idea of a prank is just putting gum on her back.
I think the confidence with which he like asserts, like, don't feel bad. You know, it was my choice to get vengeance, but I put gum on it. Like, he's like, he's convinced he's done like a super, like, you know, Chad dick move type thing.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, she's going to walk around all day and she's not even going to know there's gum on her.
It's like, everyone's going to see it and they're going to think, that lady's so stupid. She has like, gum on her.
Aki, you also should not be in this line of work either. You are too precious for this. If that is your like idea of how to get back at someone.
Yeah. This was hot.
Again. It is. I mean,
it's don't smoke, guys, but.
But if you're going to be hot about it.
I 100% was thinking what Denji said, because he calls him out and says it's indirect kissing. It's not fair. That's kissing. And he just like is really mad that she kissed him because she gave him her last cigarette. And anyway, the maturity on display. All right, so yeah, the actual devil though is basically a giant flesh blob.
Yeah, the eternity devil.
Although it's not its real body, it's the eternity devil. And we kind of see that there's like a I'm making a shape with my hands, a Morbius strip sort of thing that I think is its primary body that's either is like way deep in there, I think.
It's not entirely clear how the physicality of this thing is working.
Yeah.
It claims that here in the eighth floor, like they can't access its core or whatever. And so they can't kill it. Like there's no way to kill it.
Yeah. There's supposed to be no way to kill it and they have no way to escape. They can't escape out the windows because it just leads to the room across the hall. They can't escape from the stairs because up or down just brings them back to the eighth floor. And so, yeah, that's kind of the eternal loop that they're in right now due to this giant flesh blob. And that's when Kobani really just starts trying to stab everybody. Because it wants to eat Genji.
Were there just knives lying around in
this? I think that was her weapon of choice. Know, like Genji's got a hatchet.
So she just has a butcher's
knife? A giant knife, I think. Okay. Yeah. So they're both frozen in time and in this space, so there's also no chance of rescue. And that has driven Kobani absolutely mad. Aki can't use his fox demon because it's not centralized to him. I think they said its body is in Kyoto.
Yeah, but well, they're trapped in like a single instant of time. And so since basically he summons the fox demon from wherever it's like Kyoto headquarters is, I think it just, you know, I think it teleports or whatever, but it can't teleport to where they're at because they're kind of outside of the normal plane of existence. So,
yeah. So Himeno tries to use her ghost demon on it and it can be beaten up, but it just sort of like regrows. And what we learn is fear, or I think it's just fear in its vicinity will cause it to get larger.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of why Power is having such a great time is because she loves all of the suffering.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, you know, she's a psychic vampire in that way. She's like, yes, more.
Yeah.
When poor Kobani is having like a nervous breakdown and Power's just...
And Arai's off having a panic attack in another room too. Yeah.
And Power's just like, this is great.
This is great. I think we should just kill Denji.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? And so that's when the conundrum kind of shows up. Zaki's like, we're not killing Denji. We have to keep Denji. Makima would be really mad if we killed Denji, although that's never actually said, but I think that's kind of...
That's a part of it.
I think he knows that.
And I think Aki is like, I think he's come to recognize that Denji is at his core, you know, he's a good boy.
Yeah.
And I think he does want to stick to that principle of like, no, we only kill devils.
Yeah, like,
we killed the bad guys, and Denji isn't a bad guy. He's just an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. But that ends up causing a bigger thing between the entire group, because, of course, Kobani wants just wants to kill him. Power wants to do whatever seems like the most fun. And he may know, wants to kill him because if they run out of options, Aki threatens to use his sword. And she explains that the use of the sword will shave a significant amount of time off his life. And because a lot of this episode is kind of framing Aki and Himeno's relationship, we're supposed to understand like why that would be so upsetting to her to the point where she would kill Denji.
Yeah. She's lost like how many partners at this point?
Like, I thought like when he showed up, it was like 8.
Yeah.
Like it was a lot. It was less than 10, like more than 5, I think. So, yeah, she's
lost... fine with giving him throat and lung cancer, but.
Yeah. Right. So that they have something to bond over, you know, in the quiet moments. And I mean, she's given her eye away for her ghost contract. Theo says it's 5 partners.
Okay. That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of loss. So. That is a lot. So, it's just Power eating all of the snacks. And then she blames it on Denji. she just loses her shit, man. She's just completely lost it. Yeah. Aki is going to use his sword anyway. Himeno prevents him from doing so using the ghost thing. And she intends to like sacrifice Denji. And that's how Kobeni stabs Aki. Maybe that's why I'm so angry at her. Is because in all of her like completely losing it in a time of crisis, she stabs Aki.
Yeah.
And I like Aki. I'm not okay with that.
Don't stab Aki.
The stupid mistake.
It is. And I think I got the screenshot where she's like, this isn't my fault, with like the bloody knife in her hands. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, it's not me. Yeah. And I think that probably bothered me too in the same way, because she doesn't take responsibility for her stupid mistake either. Like she immediately tries to absolve herself.
Yes. When Power does it, it's cute. When Kobeni does it, it's infuriating, but funny. When
Kobeni does it, I'm just like, she has no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
She doesn't get a Nobel Prize.
No.
Or she gets the Nobel Prize for sucking.
Exactly. And so the episode pretty much ends with Denji deciding he's going to dive right into the Eternity Devil and go vroom vroom and probably tear it all up from the inside.
Well,
call it a day, right?
His plan is it's specifically they know they can't kill it, but Denji noticed that when Himeno was exploding him with her ghost, that he still felt pain.
Yeah,
and so his plan is, well, I'm made of chainsaws, and so if I just go all up in his guts and chainsaw them up long enough, I'll make him hurt so bad. He'll just kill himself.
Oh.
Which is like, I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, to escape the pain. Yeah.
So that's his plan.
Yeah.
Is to bully the Eternity Devil into killing himself.
Good luck with that. It's been long enough since I read that chapter in the manga that I don't remember exactly how it turns out.
Me neither.
As far as like, you know.
I didn't remember any of it. I remember them being trapped in the hotel.
Yeah.
And I remembered a little bit of the backstory, flashback stuff that we got. But pretty much all of the Eternity Devil stuff, I was like, oh, sure, I guess.
Yeah, when they said this giant like blob wall of human flesh was the Eternity Devil, I was like, oh, I don't remember that. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
All right. Sure, why not?
Yeah, so. To me, I was like... I think this is a five out of five episode as far as like execution goes. Like, I don't think there was a better way to execute this material.
Right.
Although I will say, actually, there was one flaw.
Oh.
And I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this, but
okay.
I didn't love the ending this week.
Oh, so, hey, I thought the song was a bop, but the animation was just okay.
You see, I didn't like either. I thought the animation was kind of boring and the song, I was like, eh. I don't know. Didn't do it for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, it is not in competition with last week. Last week's still.
Oh yeah.
Way That's up there too. For me.
Yeah. I'll be surprised. I mean, obviously, I don't know what other songs are lined up, but I enjoyed that last one so much. I'll be very shocked if anything
manages to unseat it,
or at the very least, if anything is like, if anything like kicks it off the throne. Maybe something will like tie, but
yeah.
That song is just really good, and the visuals are incredible. So
yeah, I'm probably gonna listen to it again now after I get out of recording this podcast. Well,
We don't have a ton of time left, but I did catch up on Akiba Maid War. And I do want to talk about Akiba Maid War. Mainly this lady.
This queen?
She is perfect.
She's amazing.
No notes. No changes needed. Nice. Just like breaking kneecaps, taking out hits, robbing places, shitting all over Unagi. You know, just... Yep.
I saw folks online that were complaining a little bit that like they thought the tonal shift was a bit much.
What?
Like that the show is suddenly like asking us to kind of take it a lot more seriously than it had up until this point, which to me was the joke.
Yeah, I don't.
Because, I mean, I think the best thing about, I forgot her name, the Crimson.
Crimson Supernova.
Crimson Supernova.
Her, Rob Van Goddam put that in there.
There we
Crimson
go.
Supernova, yeah.
Crimson Supernova.
She doesn't have a real name.
No, she does. She does. It's, I forgot it, but they say it a couple times in the episode. But the best thing about this character, other than the fact that she is completely deranged and a psychopath, is that she is committed to the space alien bit. Uh-huh. Like, that is the best, like, she drops the puns. Uh-huh. And she works the alien abduction theme into her threatening monologues. Like, she will not back down from the fact that she is, on top of being a murderous Yakuza maid, a space invader from another world, because that's her
group's their whole theme. Shtick. Because their group is Maidalians. Yes. And so they've all... Now, I don't think all of them are necessarily... Or maybe they are all space-themed, but...
I think so.
If so, then I didn't catch all the connections because there's some maids that were sitting there when she first like shows up and meets the new head or whatever, and one of them just looked like a strawberry. So I don't
a strawberry alien. I'm sure you know that's
just a straw lady in a strawberry hat kind of deal, like fruit themed. So I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I thought this entire episode was hilarious. I didn't feel like I was supposed to take it more seriously. I mean. The premise is this lady gets out of jail and immediately starts upheaving like the status quo that's been set up. She wants to start a war with the Creatureland group, murder anyone who isn't as strict as she is at following the rules and the maid code, and is also she kind of talks like an old man. So, like, she bonds a little bit with Ronko at this, like, run-down-looking ramen restaurant that operates, I think, under the Oinky Doink Cafe. And they share a couple beers and talk about the good old days kind of crap. And there's a, like, what would be equivalent to, like, a blood brothers ceremony done over ramen between Nagomi and...
Nerula?
It's kind of like Nebula, but not.
Yeah, I think that's the pun is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they take it really seriously and become sisters, and that culminates in a sad alley shooting.
She just gut shot in the middle of an alley.
Three times! They shoot her three times in that alley. And then Ronko has to like step in and be like, it would be against the code for you to attack us now. Because they killed... I'm going to call her Nebula because I'm going to keep messing it up. They kill her because she betrayed them to give the Oinky Doink Cafe a heads up that they were planning to go in there and kill all of them. So she's a spy. And
I mean, we've gotten to this. It's literally just the plot of a Yakuza game.
Yes. Yes.
Ronko is Kiryu.
Okay.
This lady is basically our Dojima.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not Dojima. She's a little too like straightforwardly evil, but you know, she's one of the Yakuza villains who like shows up out of nowhere, and all the characters in the games are like, oh, it's that guy that like has actually been here the whole time, but he was just in prison.
And
he arrives and people start dying, and there's all these twists and betrayals. The only difference is they're dressed up in maid outfits.
Yeah. Also, her outfit doesn't seem space themed. It seems like flower themed to me.
But I mean, she's screaming about.
Strawberry lady over here.
I don't know. Well, she's got stars though. Oh no, never mind.
That's those are connected to her. And then like this lady kind of got a Tanuki deal going on. I mean, we've got some of them that got these like
alien antenna sort of deals, you know, but maybe she's so funny. Like, yeah, she like slams her face into some eel. I still can't believe this otaku motherfucker is like calling shots. But yeah, it all starts over them crushing Wub Wub Moonbeam. What episode was that? I was like trying to remember what went down.
Wasn't that the first one? Wasn't that the rabbits that they killed?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. They were because rabbits on the moon. That's right. And I thought they were a creature land group because they were rabbits, but I guess they must have been an alien group.
Oh, they totally never once explained this alien thing up until this episode.
Yeah, no, the whole alien maid group was not a thing up until this episode for sure.
But again, that's like I've been playing through the Yakuza series over the last few years, and I just finished the Kiryu saga. I'm finally on to Like a Dragon.
Okay.
And I think it's in the sixth game. The whole plot revolves around this third Yakuza family that's secretly been there the entire time.
And
they're just as important, and everyone knows about them. They've just never been mentioned because they haven't been relevant to the plot. Okay. And you just go, all right, whatever. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Now they're at war for whatever reason. It doesn't really matter. None of the mob war machinations matter. The whole point is that weirdos in flashy outfits murder each other in the street.
Kill each other in the street. Police don't seem to care. As long as you run away and leave the body behind, there's no repercussions for killing people.
Steve in the chat asked, who's Majima?
Yeah.
And I think Majima would... I mean, I get, Majima uses a bat a little... Well, no. I guess he... Maybe Majima would be the Russian girl.
Okay.
You know, they start off as enemies. Yeah. But then they become friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a perfect Majima correlation, but
yeah,
I'm gonna think about it.
I guess also the main alien takeover of Akiba is known as the Akiba Big Bang.
Yeah,
that's what like they're calling that operation, which I find really funny. She has learned nothing. If we all go apologize really hard, this was so funny. She's like, if we all go apologize really hard, I'm sure they'll forgive us. And what she's talking about specifically is from the previous episode, the birthday episode.
They murdered an entire cafe. They murdered
an entire, like, it was one of the nicer cafes. They had, you know, great venue location. They were very popular. They had a lot of maids in there. Killed all of them because one psycho one was mad that Ronko and her shared the same birthday and tried to drown them in tomato juice.
Yep.
And so as part of the rescue operation to get Ronko and, her name just left me.
Nagomi
back. They kill everyone in that goddamn cafe.
They do.
Now, in fairness, maybe they weren't going to release them, but you know, that's kind of what.
And I was surprised, and I just forgot her name, but the short girl,
big earner with the pigtails.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was the one that she just started shooting.
Yeah,
like she was just like, "Ah, look, I'll kill all you guys." I was like, "Okay, I guess we're all murderers here. It's not just Renko anymore." Like,
yeah, we're all out to.
The boss sucked this week, by the way.
Yes, yeah, because she tries to convince Nagomi to. I mean, she urges her to make the sister ship under the pretense of it being honest at first, but really, it's just because she wants Nagomi to sell her out and be a spy to get information, and then Nagomi refuses, and then it turns out that. Nebula, not Nebula, is doing it on her own anyway. So they get the information anyway, just because she was. I'm gonna go crush the pigsty they call Oinky Doink is a really good line.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
Are these just
all like lines of hers that you like?
That last one specifically, I was going to ask you if that's how you sometimes feel, like having to dig through the comment section.
No comment on my feelings about the A&N comment section.
Not necessarily A&N. I was thinking more like people yelling at you on Twitter over Mignona stuff or whatever.
Oh, Vic Mignona stuff. Like the court documents that came out today that he's trying to appeal his case to the Texas Supreme Court. Hey, I said we can follow that one up maybe next week when more details about that come out.
When they inevitably,
I felt like it was done specifically because we made fun of him on the podcast last week about Nebraska.
And he's like, I'll show you. I'll spend even more money to be publicly humiliated by the legal system.
You had to call him out about wanting to be like flagrantly and publicly humiliated on a scale never before seen by man.
Your Honor, the nefarious website in question alleged that my client, who is innocent, did not tip the waitress at the Chili's that he and his friends conducted their impromptu and unplanned gathering. And I can confirm that he did, in fact, tip. Oh, well, he tipped an autographed business card with directions for how to book him for a convention. So yes, that is not worth any monetary value and would in fact be seen as an insult, but he did leave a tip. And therefore, we argue that he should be paid back in full by Funimation plus interest.
I'd also like to note it was stapled to a Bible tract. Moving on.
Sorry, James.
I'm sorry. I'm just imagining a chick tract.
Right.
But about evil voice actresses or something.
Oh. Oh. So anyway, this is a great show. I don't even know if it would be a good idea for me to show screenshots of her getting straight up shot in this alleyway. But she does. And Nagomi, once again, is that girl needs so much therapy.
Oh, I know. But she also needs to learn what, I mean, she accepted a while ago that she is working in an industry that demands blood.
Right. And
the fact that she is still in the mindset that you can just apologize your problems away. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this unfortunately needed to happen so that she will at least understand that she has to change her name and leave the country forever.
Uh-huh.
Or she needs to pick up some kind of improvised weapon along with her other oinky doink sisters and kill the space alien mafia. I mean, those are the only options, right?
Really? And they have this whole kind of camaraderie as she's dying where she tells her to never change, you know, don't accept violence into your heart. You can do better. And I, spine of a leather flock together. Is that new?
Yeah, we finally got subtitles for the end credit lyrics and they're just as wonderful as we imagined.
I'm going to have to go watch it. I didn't notice they hadn't been there before. Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like there's no way Nagomi comes out the end of the show without like her own body count and wielding something, some kind of weapon, you know?
I mean, maybe she will preserve her innocence. Maybe she will manage to make it through this without shedding a drop of blood. I can only imagine that it means that Ranko will have to pick up the slack and, you know, John Wick her way to the top of the maid mafia food chain.
I would watch that. Yeah. I'd watch John Wick only starring a maid for 4 sequels.
No, we just need a crossover. I mean, we have already established that the John Wick universe is fully insane. So I would believe that in the universe of John Wick, in their version of Japan, not only do they have their improbably populated society of assassins who exist specifically to assassinate each other, they also have this not underground at all, openly conducted made mafia war. So they can exist side by side.
I just, you know, we need to send some emails and get on that, I think.
No.
No.
Yeah. Come on, Keanu Reeves. I know you'd be willing. You seem like a cool guy.
Yeah. Oh, I bet he'd totally be down for it. He'd wear one, make costume.
Yes, he would. I believe he would.
He would.
He would.
Without blinking an eye. He'd play it straight the entire time.
I'm going to need a ketchup bottle.
Moe Moe Kyun.
Yeah. Moe Moe Kyun.
Nailed it. Yeah. All right, everybody. That's it for the after show today. We will be back next Tuesday at the same time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. If you're going to be at Anime NYC, you can find me there. I will be there
every day. And there's an Anime News Network panel that you should try to attend that is on Friday at 5 o'clock off the top of my head. It's around 5 o'clock. You know, double check your Anime NYC schedule, but Friday, approximately 5 o'clock. I think we're opposite Sword Art Online, so, you know, competing with that for the audience. But if
I mean, you know which one you're going to pick, right? I mean, Sword Art Online, that's old news. Yeah. Anime News Network never dies.
Yeah, we're never old news. We're always the most up-to-date and current news. So you should go to our panel. There'll be prizes. So, and they're really easy to win. You just have to ask a question and then you get a prize. A good question. So
yeah, good question, everyone. It has to be a good question.
Yeah, ask questions about how much you love the podcast. And maybe you'll, you know, win a prize.
Absolutely. Yeah. We play favorites here.
Absolutely.
We can be bribed, but only by compliments, not with money.
So. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.